Jamar Joe Barusta, Valley Avenue. This is TabilePod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 3rd of May. On this date in 1469, Niccolo Machiavelli was born. In 1802, Washington, D.C. was incorporated as a city. In 1810, Lord Byron swam the Hellespont. In 1893, Constantine Gamzahordia, the writer, father of Ziad Gamzahordia, the well-known nutty president, was born. In 1920, a Bolshevik coup attempt on Tbilisi fails, coming from the newly Bolshevized Azerbaijan. In 1933, James Brown was born. In 1941, Nona Gapadindashvili, five-times world champion chess player, was born. And most importantly, on this date, in 1997, me, Mark Mullen, moved to Georgia.
Ooh.
15 years ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. My 15th birthday. Today is World Press Freedom Day. Georgian journalists and students are demonstrating. They have a tombstone with free media inscribed upon it. Georgia slipped a little bit in the Freedom House Global Press Freedom ranking. It's now 111 out of 197 countries. It has moved up a couple of places, allegedly due to Libet Ali getting a radio license. Anything else happen?
They changed the broadcasting legislation and banned offshore ownership, so now we have the official names of the people who own the TV and radio stations. And that was also highlighted as a positive change. So Georgia moved up a few ranks, but it's still...
Which is good.
Don't you have any thoughts, though, about the way that this is done? Because I feel like they take a couple, like, fairly large cases or something that happened over the year and then use that as the basis for the ranking. I mean,
right.
So you hear about the closing of IMID, for example, you know, caused Georgia to fall a couple years ago. I mean, it's just like this one instance.
There's the arrest of the photographers in the last year. You know, the three guys who were charged with being Russian spies. There were attacks on journalists when they dissolved the May protests last year. I mean, there were other cases, too, that were problematic. So, I don't know.
Media is still a problem here. I mean, the question is whether or not you do it country by country trending, or whether you compare everyone to everyone else. You know, is always the question. Today we are Matthias Hutter back from the Wild West. Is Cameron Christensen? Everything we say is representative only of each one of us individually, and not any employers or affiliated entities. And of course, me to Mark Mullen. The Patriarch spoke on Sunday. He said, and I quote, "Lately, equality is an accepted term. We say that wives and husbands are equal, but the Holy Word says that the head of the family is the husband, and it's impossible that one body, a family, is one body and yet also has two heads." End quote. He said that a wife should offer her husband food when he comes back home and wash his feet. Okay.
Are we learning why he's single?
Now, here's the big question. All right. What if a wife comes home from a hard day of working her tail off and her husband has been home playing Nardi and watching Nietzsche? All right. Who washes whose feet in that circumstance? Because I can assure you this is a very common scenario both in Georgia and the world.
About the breadwinner. Yeah, there's some really interesting data actually about, you know, that CRC put out regarding who Georgians think should be the breadwinner of the family and who actually is, because they are dramatically different.
I can imagine. Interesting question there. Anyway, lots of Facebook traffic on that. There is also some well-known hipsters making a video of men washing their feet, saying that we can do it ourselves. Anybody who would like to be in that video, which films tomorrow, Friday, please post on our Facebook page, and you shall be contacted.
And they should have women that say, "I don't even wash my own feet."
Exactly. Yes, women who want to say, "Like, I don't wash my feet. What's your problem with
people?"
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yes, you're also welcome to post as well. That is Tbilisi only. Very sorry about that. The Kutaisi, Zubidi, and Batumi feet washing filming will take place at another time. In Ajada, people were installing a cross owned on a hill by the government, and the government said, "You can't do that." And they said, "You should transfer this hill to the church." The instigating Father Tamaz said on tape that this is preserving Georgian values, so that the territory should not go to some foreigners, but should be given for them. There is a completely fantastic quote, which is, and I quote, "The legal framework should come out of our ideology. We are not Americans or Europeans to care about documents. All right, we exist legally because wherever the church goes, it takes care of people, and we are strengthening Georgian genes."
Right. What is the Christian version of Sharia? Is there like a word for that?
Father Tamaz. I don't know. It's really, a sad case. And, it gets, first of all, I mean, there's a question. What is this Georgian genes thing? I mean, and we're talking not like Jean Zebi Taoba or Levi's. I mean, we're talking about like,
DNA.
The genetic, substance of the nation, Well, I mean, just how is this priest going about doing that? I mean, what's the, I don't know. It'd be interesting to get some details on that, where they're forthcoming. And most depressing of all, the government has caved and has said, okay, fine, keep the cross there. So,
and in Najara, I don't think a lot of people will be pleased there that they're not seen as Georgians just because they're Muslims.
Yeah, is that the implication? That
no, like I mean Najara is majority Muslim population, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Georgians,
all right. So, if we have any government-connected listeners, tell somebody to get over there and ask the patriarch to apply for a permit to stick the cross there or something.
Can I ask this though? I wonder. We have almost on a weekly basis some stories about some radical or ridiculous thing that a member of the church says here, and I wonder. Is this?
Are you Muslim?
Is this an indication? Of a church stance, or do you think it's an indication of like a lack of control over PR and something else?
I don't know. I mean, that's the question of command and control within the Georgian Orthodox Church is an interesting one, and one that I don't know very much about. But these whacked out priests, and there certainly seem to be some. I mean, there's never a day that goes by that there's not a video of whacked out priests saying appalling things. Although foot washing was the patriarch himself, so I don't know. That's a good question. I think there's also the patriarch is not young, and I think there's a lot of questions about who will be next, and taking a look at the metropolitans as they're called.
So Father Tamaz is trying to.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? Ivanishvili's Ninth Channel is on the air. For now, they show movies and documentaries during the day, have newscasts and discussions in the evening. The main news show is at 9 p.m. The host of the news program is Natia Lazashvili, fairly famous, who left Rustaviori just after the Rose Revolution. The tone is not quite as balanced as they promised. They toss in a few barbs at the government now and then.
The Fox News, right? They promised the Georgian version of Fox.
It was Fox, I believe, Fox or CNN, like.
Fox or CNN, yeah. Fox, which is just, completely appalling and stupid. Or CNN.
Holograms and interactive
right.
Tables and
or
walls.
CNN, which I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what that is. What we need is Al Jazeera English, which is the best English news, TV news in the world right now.
That'll be starting about 2 minutes.
Yeah, of course. Interesting. Let's get somebody working on that. Well, Lushkov now is not really, in the Batumi picture anymore. So, yeah. Okay. So it is streaming just online, and in terms of broadcast, what's the deal?
Yeah. So, you need to have Global TV, which is Ivanishvili's brother's company. I think I mentioned it last week. But they only broadcast around Tbilisi and like in Kakheti, so you need to subscribe to their service and have a satellite dish in your house to get it. Or now it is also on Turksat. So Turksat is this Turkish satellite operator. And just in the beginning of this week, all major Georgian channels popped up on Turksat. So some of them have only reserved slots, so they're not on air yet, but you will have Maestro there, and that's been there for a while, but not really working. Kavkazia will be there, which is new.
And is this demo, can a lot of people get this? Is it, what is it, like cable packages? I mean,
no,
you need a dish?
So there's this new company coming up called Black Sea Sat. It's like owned by some people, you know, who run a big construction company and get a lot of government contracts. And, but apparently they will offer these kind of pay TV packages. So you need a satellite dish, and I guess then you need to pay them a monthly fee of several lari. I don't know. So you can get the ninth channel for free. You don't need to pay, but you will need to pay to get like all the government channels and Maestro and Kaukasia and the whole deal.
Uh-huh.
So in terms of determining audience, though, that will be a little bit problematic, right?
Yeah, you can't really measure at the moment how many people will watch that. So about 20% of Georgian households have a satellite dish at this moment. But Ivanishvili's Global TV is handing out free satellite dishes to anybody who wants one, and they install it for you. And then they say you have to, after 1 year, you have to start paying for this installation, but I'm not sure if that will be proper.
To their channels, like the government tries to, I think, steer people away from watching the night.
But that's the whole point with satellite, you won't be able to tell, right? I mean, like, you'll just know that someone has access to those channels and you won't know who's watching what.
Yeah,
well, unless they get those little, you know, Nielsen machines, I don't know. Have to check the ratings. Sunday, Armenia will be holding parliamentary elections. The ruling party's slogan is "Let's believe in change." Little nutty, since they've been in power since 2007. Thanks to legislative changes introduced last year, defamation suits for statements made about polling stations or counting processes may abound and are a powerful incentive for people to shut up. Let's wish a peaceful election for Armenia and hope that the will of the people is made manifest in the composition of their legislature. Certainly, a democratic Armenia would be a good thing for everybody. There was a gigantic opening of the new Kutaisi headquarters of a microfinance organization called Geo Capital, the hardest working microfinance organization in Georgia. It's a It was attended by Misha and was just...
And by Mark Mullen.
And by Mark Mullen was there, exactly. Full disclosure, I know Ralph and Irma, who actually run it. And it's certainly a good place to watch. If there are any fabulously wealthy private equity types listening to the show, be sure to send them an email. They will offer free personal and business finance classes to anybody in Kutaisi starting in June.
So they're only focusing on Kutaisi?
Only Kutaisi and, you know, later sort of western Georgia. But for now, really just Kutaisi.
Hmm.
Lots of Facebook talk about, with a fairly gruesome set of pictures, reported by TS Press that Zurab Delianidze, 38-year-old prisoner, died in custody. His body was covered with bruises. His family said that he was tortured. He was sent to prison for 6 years for marijuana possession. According to the government, he died of a heart attack. You know, a lot of these stories, really a whole lot of these stories. I mean, and it's all over. These pictures are just all over Facebook. Now, what'll be interesting is, look, I mean, who knows what happens in Guldani prison? Frankly, not a lot of information there. What will be... very, very interesting to watch, since this is really very much discussed, is what the response of the government will be. Is it going to be like, you know, well, according to, you know, Section 46 of the whatever code, you know, we don't really have to tell you, and there will be a complete forensic investigation within the next year, and, you know, I don't know, something like that. Or, you know, whether they're going to, you know, say what the deal is. But... it's, you know, understandable. There are a lot of people in prisons, and that and prisons have been in a, you know, a very important part of the significant drop of crime in Georgia. But I don't know. This is just becoming an increasingly big issue, I think, for Georgians, how prisoners are treated. Because, frankly, there's so many prisoners in Georgia that it's a pretty large percentage of the population of Georgia that's got a friend or relative that's in jail.
Well, and what's interesting to me is that, I mean, you normally think of torture as a method of, well, an alternative method of extracting information during your interrogation. But what we've been seeing maybe recently
as it is in America, you know, a more democratic country, right? You know.
Well, sure. I mean, but you don't really see it so much as just some sort of random practice within prisons, right? I mean, that's what we're seeing more recently, right?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, there's so little information coming out of there, and the government seems to be so reluctant to allow, you know, normal investigations of these things that there's just not a whole lot of information. So what you get is a bunch of, you know, pictures from who knows where floating around Facebook, you know. So, I mean, we have very little information about that, but because the government seems to be reluctant to open the process up for, you know, then we don't know.
Well, I was just talking with this organization called International Bridges to Justice, which actually will be working with the Ministry of Justice, and apparently there's going to be a contingent going from the Ministry of Justice to this organization to, I guess, discuss with them, you know, about eradicating torture as a means of extracting information or an alternative interrogation method. I hadn't really thought that it was so much of a problem here, but also there's the distinction between the Ministry of Justice versus the Ministry of Penitentiaries, which it sounds like this is the problem here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I'm with some great success in their work. I mean, I do sort of feel like, you know, the Ministry of Justice is an extremely competent ministry, and if they really wanted to deal with this, I mean, are prisons under Justice or Interior? You know,
no, penitentiary.
It's its own, yeah,
under
its
Justice
own ministry. No, it's its own ministry.
It's its own ministry.
Remember, it's Shashkin, Shashkin, a woman.
Right.
Sorry.
So, right. Yeah. Shashkin. Yeah, that's right. So
no. It's the
former Shashkin.
Former Shashkin. You know,
it's a woman now because she was the one who just recently the public defender called for her to resign.
Right. Did she wash her husband's feet? You know. Or,
yeah. I'll talk to the.
Don't throw me in jail. I'm sorry. Never mind. I recall that. Yeah, well, I hope they do that. I feel like that area of endeavor within, you know, state activity in Georgia is quite competent, and if they want to stop it, you know, they know how to do that. Any international attention on the matter is worthwhile. The public defender condemned the Chamber of Control for its questionings of political party members.
And there's a new questioning actually took place today. So that was about a couple months ago when they invited Georgian Dream activists in, I think, Guria, and they interviewed them, like asked them how much money they got and why they worked for Ivanishvili and all that. It was kind of an intimidating event. And today, apparently, people were again invited and asked, why did you rent space for, Ivanishvili's offices, Georgian Dream offices around the country? How much did you get? All that. So there was a new round of investigations or questioning.
Yeah, and they also released a video saying, yes, we do these interrogations, and we're going to continue, and, you know, so what?
I wonder where these employees came from in the Chamber of Control. Because
I
imagine that.
But from what I heard, all prosecutors'
hired,
office.
Yeah.
Democracy Freedom Watch reports that thousands of people demonstrated in Tbilisi for improved social conditions on the 1st of May, International Workers' Day. Certainly a lot of union members. I saw lots of teachers along Rustaveli. Eurasianet has an article by Joshua Kusera saying that while Misha plans to increase the military contingent in Afghanistan more and more people are starting to question whether we really need this. Resonanci had an article recently where two soldiers said that they were forced to go there and that it was not as voluntary as people said. Head of the EUMM on lots of consonants, Andre Chizvizviz, who has over 200 civilian observers on the ground, told Civil.ge that so far, quote, it can neither confirm or deny allegations of illegal armed groups in western Georgia, end quote. Okay, but...
So Cameron was in Abkhazia last week, and...
I don't want to badmouth individuals, but we had an interesting encounter, actually, right before we crossed
the... Badmouth, that's what this show is all about.
Luckily, I don't know the man's name, but as I was... You know, so people who aren't familiar, there's actually a little room on the Georgian-controlled side of the Ingwuri that they ask you to, you know, show your documents. And so as I was doing that for myself and another person, the other person actually got approached by people who work for the EOMM. There were two cars that were sitting there, and actually these people came up and were just asking us, you know, what are you doing? And then basically gave the guy, the person that I was going with, his cell phone number and said, could you call me when you're coming back and let us know what's happening over there? Because as you know, we're not allowed to go over there. So I thought that was somewhat telling about you know, their competence if they're asking us, who are just random people that they ran into, you know, who obviously are foreign.
Well, that's good. I mean, that they're asking, you know.
Sure. Unfortunately, he didn't give me the number, so I didn't manage to call him. And
what
I
would be really cool is if
crowdsource it.
What would be really cool is if the Kremlin would allow the Abkhaz and Ossetians to allow the EUMM in there. You know, that would be nice.
Yeah. Well, and there were lots of people still, of course, going back and forth, which I thought was interesting. You know, I didn't really have any problems going across the other side. And then once you get over there, what's interesting is that it was pointed out to me that there was some construction for the families of the Russian soldiers that are there. So they're basically
a lot of construction. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of money being put in by Russians. I mean, there's a lot of road improvement. So you see some small business investments as well. But what was interesting were these kind of gated communities where the Russian soldiers' families were going to live.
Uh huh. Gated.
Yeah. They were basically, you know, kind of cloistered.
Mm-hmm. And what's the rest of the what's the rest of the Abkhazia report? Anything interesting there? Anything new? Anything different? Other than construction in Gali?
I mean, it didn't seem as kind of oppressive as when I was there last time. I was there last in 2009. You know, but it could have been just the difference in my activities. So I went further north of Suchumi, so, you know, I had encounters with other types of people. Certainly, you know, I ended up having... I always seem to end up having a conversation about Georgian Abkhaz relations, and, you know, there's a lot of, I think, personal memory about what happened during the war, and, you know, it's going to be, I think, hard to reconcile that without some emotional talks.
Yeah. And it would I certainly have found a reluctance, an enthusiasm for talking about that by the Abkhaz, and a real reluctance for Georgians to, you know, to talk about what happened in Abkhazia during the war, other than saying a bunch of Georgians were kicked out, which they indeed were.
Sure.
And there's certainly reluctance to talk about that by the Abkhaz that remained, but... there's also reluctance to talk about, to talk about what was going on with the Georgians.
There was actually, you know, if you remember, HRIDC and Ucha Nanuashvili had that Bodishi campaign, you know, the sorry campaign. I don't know if anything really happened from that. The one other thing I thought I'd mention, actually, is that I heard that, the Abkhaz side and some officials there think that the Georgian authorities are actually alerting embassies in Russia that they should not give... travel visas to Abkhaz Russian passport holders. So they're going out of their way to make it difficult for those Abkhaz who have obtained Russian passports to travel outside of Abkhazia.
You mean to European countries?
Right.
Georgia's trying to tell them not to...
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, almost verbatim from a source there.
Eurasianet writes that the Abkhaz have invited ethnic Abkhaz from Syria to resettle into their ancestral land. The de facto authorities have declared that return has begun, and they already have 5 people who've come back from Syria. It's tough, unrecognized Abkhazia, but probably not as tough as Syria right now. How they travel would be interesting to know what route they take. Anybody listening from IOM or UNHCR that want to let us know how Abkhaz from Syria get in, that would be interesting. Parliament drafted strategy towards the North Caucasus. Civil.ge reports the 18-page document is about boosting relations with the North Caucasus, trade, economy, people-to-people contacts, education, healthcare, and human rights. Quite a number of education, healthcare, travelers, evidently, from the North Caucasus, and certainly just regular tourists. I mean, like, around Adekle Meore, Chardeni, I mean, there's really an incredible number of Russian tourists here right now, seems like. And I think a lot of it had to do with just visa-free. That it's the, you know, from what I've heard, that, you know, just the fact that there's no visa now and you could just go and don't have to, you know, there's not, even though the process before was virtually visa-free and fairly easy, now it's just, I don't know, the visa-free travel seems to be an important psychological barrier that's been overcome.
I think they reported that 45,000 Russians have come already since then.
Hmm.
And it hasn't been that long.
It's a lot. Yeah, and a lot for Moscow, too. Not just, you know, not just North Caucasus or nearby or overland.
It's also maybe because the flights are back on, so that helps.
Right. Yeah. Civil.ge reported that Georgia plans to set up a, and I'm using air quotes,
parliament composed of representatives from the Georgian diaspora in order to increase their engagement in Georgian affairs, except it'll only be a parliament advising the sort of ministry, you know, Davataya's ministry of expatriate Georgians or whatever, which, you know, I mean, I'm a big fan of that. I wish they had one of those in the United States. You know, I wish, like, in France and Mexico, you had expatriate seats. I mean, there's 7 million of us Americans living outside of the United States. Why not, you know? And it could be a really good thing for Georgia, but why not have it be, you know, bigger and more important rather than advising the ministry, you know, have it have some real whatever. Also, lots of talk about this. The government, the state, spent more than 75,000 lari on advertising Misha on Facebook.
And there's also a lot of Facebook advertising for, you know, Bakratze, the chair of the parliament,
right.
Different other politicians. Ivanishvili has spent a lot of money on
right,
Facebook advertising as well.
Battle,
I mean,
weren't you saying that there was the fake Ivanishvili page, though, too?
There are the fake Ivanishvili pages that says the real profile, and then it gets you to a fake Ivanishvili profile that says I'm a Russian spy, basically.
Oh, every day an adventure on
Facebook.
Yeah. Speaking of Kutaisi, Misha said, give me 2, 3, 4 more years, and I will turn the previously famous spa resort of Skaltubo in western Georgia into the best place in Europe. Sybil.ge said that that could be him indirectly admitting that he wants to stick around.
Or he's going to become the director of that place.
The head of the Skaltuba Resort.
That's right. I mean,
yeah.
Seems like a perfect follow-on.
But only if it becomes part of the Lazica municipality.
Right. The way Gudauri has become part of the Lazica. Misha said that he's willing to resign if Russia gives up control of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. And besides that, he's even willing to sacrifice parts of his body that Moscow has, and I quote, shown interest in the past, end quote.
That's some sacrifice there.
That would be some serious, serious sacrifice there. Media.ge reports that local journalists were not let into a theater in Kutaisi where Misha was giving a speech. Although Rustavioti had no problem getting in. The hardest working NGO in Georgia, Transparency International Georgia, writes about Temuraz Gvelukashvili, member of the Rustavi City Council from the United National Movement, who has sent live sheep and 20 liters of wine to several city districts for Easter. From the legal point of view, this can be considered the bribery of voters. But correct me if I'm wrong, but can't this now be criminally prosecuted?
If it was a campaign event and if it was paid by the ruling party, then yes. If it was paid with government funds, not necessarily.
That's a great distinction. So
we can waste the
taxpayers' money exactly. And not get in trouble. But if it's the parties...
Alright, the Georgian Dream said they will start campaigning wonderful on May 26th, 7th at a big stadium in Tbilisi. There's a little comment on the Ninth Channel, like, oh, we'll see if the government gives permission to do that. That was one of the not very neutral barbs tossed out during the news conference.
Actually, I have a question about that. I thought that there had been a restriction on the pre-election period. Is there not? Like when I thought that there was kind of an official announcement of when campaigning could start.
That is 2 months before the elections, or when the president announces the official election date, then the pre-election campaign period starts, and you have certain rules. For example, right now, no party is allowed to advertise on TV, but different ministries have very extensive marketing campaigns on TV saying, you know, we're going to increase pensions from September. These are the achievements of the current government. Like,
right.
It's officially paid with taxpayer funds. So that is allowed while the opposition is not allowed to advertise. So that's a big issue that creates an unlevel playing field.
The father of the former father-in-law of the former head of Kartu Fund, Tamas Ashvili, who is currently detained, will take one of the two main posts in the Ministry of the Interior after the Georgian Dream comes to power. Says Bidzina Ivanishvili, or B.I., as people say.
Whoever's seen Mimi, though, all I can think of is, Yapamagu, Jesus,
yes! Yes, if you have not seen Mimi, now, go see Mimi, now. The Georgian Dream office in Snoti village in Kakheti was fired upon. A bullet flew into one of its office rooms. Minister of Interior have said that they can't find a trace of the bullet on the spot. Misha will be opening a hospital in Poti today. TS Press says that teachers and parents have already been mobilized. Zugdidi municipality plans to get another Jeep worth 55,000 lari. This is the third one in 3 months for Ministry of Interior Regional Office. Beyond Tbilisi reports that the Gori District Court is currently considering a case of a Georgian soldier who attempted, allegedly, to rape a Teach and Learn in Georgia program participant.
And there's also a great report on Beyond Tbilisi about how a river in Dushetti turned into, basically, it's full of garbage, and you cannot see the water anymore. It's just garbage there, because there is no landfill up in Dushetti.
Huh.
And so now in the spring, all the dirt is flushed down the river. And
Well, there are no landfills in the majority of the country, of course, as well.
What ministry is that? The Ministry of Environment?
Where the local government.
It's all local government, yeah. Well, interesting. The government passed a decree according to which children under the age of five and pensioners will get health insurance. 800,000 people will be insured.
Which sounds like a very good initiative.
Yes, a wonderful initiative. Well-timed. A quarter of the Georgian population is abroad, and 80% of those are illegal labor migrants and sole breadwinners, according to Democracy and Freedom Watch, a great article by the head of the European Neighborhood Platform, Kedi Sikalashvili. Compared to other countries in the region, Georgians have the highest rejection rate for visas to the EU, Schengen visas, I guess. Georgia is preparing for a general census. There's already a commission set up to work on methodology. We don't know the exact date yet.
Probably after the elections.
Yeah,
we hope, certainly.
So they said for a 2-year period, starting from like 2014 or something, which means that it will be 12 years since the last one, because the last one was in 2002.
Yeah. Right. From 200 to 300 Russian language speaking families left Georgia for Russia as a part of a state program on assisting a volunteer resettlement of Russian compatriots residing abroad. Strange that they were doling out so many passports in Abkhazia and in South Ossetia, but okay. NGOs demand vetoing of the amendments that let investors do whatever they want to the environment in exchange for payment in compensation to the state.
And the government has went on, I think, Business Corriere, and the Minister of Environment said, actually, all these NGOs didn't really get the message. All we want to do is to find a solution to, investors or companies that have polluted the environment. And that law allows a settlement, so they basically pay to the government in order to avoid criminal charges for damage that they have caused with their business. But the law actually didn't really emphasize that aspect. I think it also emphasized the future aspect. Mm-hmm. So it's not really
so
clear.
So the minister lied, basically.
The minister had a different spin than all the environmental NGOs.
Got it. All right. A tiny party that no one's really ever heard of, Alexandre Ebralidze, maybe, and I think Kukava might be in there, Party Free Georgia, which is not a really good title in English. Party Free Georgia,
kind of boring.
Party Free, yeah. Party Georgia! Anyway, Party Free Georgia released a statement saying that 100-year-old oak trees are being illegally cut with the help of rangers in the Alazani Valley. Commercent.ge reports that, according to the Food Products Association, most drinks on the Georgian market are dangerous. You should especially avoid drinks that are green.
But that's so unfair, because on the bottle it says this doesn't contain harmful substances or something like that in English.
Well, first of all, who's the Food Products Association?
Yeah, nobody's ever heard of them.
I mean, is that a Georgian entity?
I don't know. And then, obviously, the market will regulate that itself, right?
Of course,
we don't need any overlords to say what is dangerous and whatnot.
Interesting. All right. Well, so all you Tarkhuna fans, sorry about
that. The Chernobylskaya.
Maybe it's Coke and Pepsi and Red Bull that
right
against Natakhtari.
Right. Stick to Red Bull. Right. Commercent.ge reports that houses which are close to the building of the Kutaisi Parliament will be rehabilitated. The Kutaisi budget is paying 2.5 million lari for it. On the 6th of May, a parade will be held in Gori to celebrate Police Day. There's going to be a new stadium and car race track to be constructed in Batumi, according to Misha.
I think he's very much into car racing right now. There was on the weekend, there was the big race at the Rustavi racetrack, and everybody, I was walking around like Bazroba, and everybody was watching the car race. There was, of course, on Rustavi too.
Wow.
And Misha was in the like safety car, and you know, big show.
And he also made political statements wearing his outfit afterwards, which I thought was really charming.
That's good. I am not a great reader of academic papers, but thanks to a tip from a dedicated listener, we saw a very cool paper by Sam Suet in the Department of Geography at the University of Minnesota called Assembling International Competitiveness and How the Government of Georgia Fetishizes All Those Various Indices About How Business-Friendly They Are, how they sort of fixed the stuff that was easiest to fix and delivered great and derived great benefit from that, but how it was related to the sponsors of the indices as well. Anyway, very very good paper, quite interesting. Another great story from a dedicated listener. There's a thing called that I just mentioned called the National Platform, organized by the EU that deals the part of the EU that deals with
Eastern
the partnership. Neighborhood
Eastern or, Partnership,
your Eastern Partnership, as I guess it's now called, which is the three South Caucasus country, Ukraine and Moldova.
And Belarus.
Really? They're
suspended from that thing.
All right. Yeah. So they're, kind of in it. The thing is set up as an NGO, NGOs that volunteer to participate to improve communication among civic organizations with the EU. There are tons of NGOs. They're membered like 80 of them or so in the Georgian version of it. The loudest member of which is a guy named Misha Tavkhelidze.
Who also now got his own show on Canal Peak recently, apparently.
No way. He's back on Canal Peak?
Was he fired?
Yes, he was fired, and then is he? Oh my gosh!
He also used to write for Tabula.
He wrote for Tabula. Yeah, really ferocious blowhard. Anyway, he is a part of the Coalition for European Georgia, which is an organization, is sort of the most influential anti-EU organization in Georgia in that special newspeak kind of way. Anyway, the role he plays is to prevent the platform from doing anything, showing up to the meetings, and you know, just messing everything up. Last week, the committee, the sort of group of leadership, said that they wanted to meet with it's headed by Kitty Tresosvili, as I said, who's very smart and cool and knows what's going on. She said that they wanted to meet with the minister of Euro-Atlantic Integration, Gia Baramidze's office, to chat. Since Misha Tavkhelidze, who's not on the committee but always wants to go to every meeting and annoy the hell out of everybody, he wrote an email to the whole platform saying that he wants to go to that meeting. Then Nino Lapiashvili, who's sort of his sidekick within the organization and runs an organization called Clean Politics and showing up in the media and on TV quite a bit these days, does by mistake a reply all that says that she got a call from Gia Baramidze, who told her that they should apply directly to the committee if they want to participate in this meeting, and that if they're refused, then they'll have reason to screen. What's interesting about this is that there seems to be lively communication between the Ministry for Euro-Atlantic Integration and the most anti-EU entities within Georgia society.
Now, right, but these organizations are individuals, can also be described as Gongo representatives, so people who work for NGOs that are basically supporting whatever the government says. And, you know, when the government needs to show to the international community that they consult with civil society representatives, they also invite these people who support their view, and it makes the whole process, you know, easier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think what we're talking about here, though, is like whether or not the government actually has genuine intentions to kind of integrate with Europe and absorb European values. And I think, you know, this reminds me of some of the comments that you hear coming out of Bendukidze, for example, where he talks about, you know, if we're looking at, you know, the European Union that has whatever, you know, strong economy and all this stuff, then that's great. If we're looking at increased bureaucracy, these are things that we do not want to take on.
Right.
But this is almost kind of taking it to a new level because it's really stymieing this interaction between, you know, local actors who are trying to contribute to the process and
exactly,
you know,
and I mean,
forms.
Interesting. If Tavkhelidze really has a new show on Canal Peak, because Canal Peak is a wholly owned subsidiary of the government of Georgia. I mean, in reality, let's be real. You know, the public broadcaster and all that. So, Anyway, there's also a guy in town named Joe Rice Johnson III, who used to work for the International Republican Institute as well as NDI, the National Democratic Institute in Russia.
And we all know that former NDI representatives, you have to be careful with these guys.
Full disclosure. Ted Jonas used to work for NDI. Anyway, he's now with something called the Committee for Open Democracy. I'd encourage you to take a look at it. They're looking around, talking about observing elections and all those sorts of things. Doesn't really say too much on their website, except that they've been monitoring in Moldova and Ukraine recently. Not sure who's paying for them. Their sources of funding are not particularly clear, but
the about section on their website is very, very short. It just says send us a message if you're interested in who we are.
So it starts. These are high stakes elections. There's lots of foreigners around and lots of important people that are interested in the outcomes, and so
including some governments,
and enormous neighboring countries, and so who knows what Mr. Johnson III is doing?
He was voted of one of the by Kiev, the Kiev Post. Apparently, on their website, it says he was voted, or this organization was voted one of the 20 most influential foreign experts in Kiev. Or something like that.
I should follow. I'll follow up on that.
All right. Excellent. Look forward to it. So last week we spoke about the Open Skies Agreement. I found out a little bit more about that. The way it works is that there are military flights where you go over Abkhazia, Georgia, whatever else, and military officers will all get to be on the flight. So there'll be Russians and Georgians and others on there to see what's going on and take a look at stuff. It's a great thing, so that we can all see what's going on. The reason that the Georgians have pulled out is because evidently the Russians were saying, no, we, you can't go more than, 10 miles within the border, and we're just being persnickety in that special Kremlin-y kind of way. And so the Georgians said, all right, look, we're out of here, So, I don't know. As described to me, it seemed quite reasonable for the Georgians to yank themselves out of the process.
And so they pulled out, not suspended, because I thought that they had suspended.
No, suspended. They have suspended and say, okay, we're not doing this anymore until you guys will start to play ball in a normal way.
Right.
Okay, movies at Kolga, across from McDonald's and Dom Kino, the 4th of May, which is tomorrow night, is 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days, a Romanian movie. It's about a fairly depressing topic, and I will say it's a depressing movie, but it is a fantastic movie. I really encourage everyone to see it. If you can see it, it's drama, it's tough, but great. Then Monday the 7th of May is Mother, Korean movie.
Absolutely fantastic also.
Oh yeah?
Really, really worth seeing.
Okay, never seen that, so got to go on Monday night. And then another incredibly fantastic movie on Wednesday. Very, very funny, brilliant movie in German called Goodbye Lenin.
It's probably in English, but a German movie about making fun of Eastern German.
Why in English? You mean with subtitles?
Subtitles. Yeah, no, they're all subtitled. All the movies are subtitled in English. There'll be a wine festival at the Ethnographic Museum May 12th. So there'll be a lot of wine companies there participating in that. In 3 weeks, Europe Week at Europe House will happen on Freedom or Tavi Supleva Square. Check it out online. That last couple of years, it's been really cool. Great shows, great debates, and everything else. Okay, the question last week was, the children of Zakaria and Elizabeth Mdivani, the five siblings that fled to Paris after the 1917 revolution, became known as the marrying Mdivanis, who married stratospheric big shots. The question was, give us some of the most amazing stories. So, the siblings were Sergei Mdivani, who married actress Pola Negri in 1927, but when she lost her fortune in the stock market crash of 29, abandoned her and took up with opera singer Mary McCormick, who divorced him in a highly publicized trial. He then married his former sister-in-law, Louise Astor Van Allen Mdivani, in 1936, but died a year later in a polo accident. Alexis Mdivani, who married Louise Astor Van Allen, member of the Astor family in 1931, but divorced her to marry Woolworth heiress Barbara Hutton, one of the world's richest women at the time, died in an automobile accident. Isabella Rusudana Mdivani, or Rusi, sculptress, married the Spanish painter Jose Maria Sert, who did, by the way, the paintings in the Rockefeller in Rockefeller Center that you can still see today and are very cool. He's Catalan. They were originally done by Rivera, but when Mr. Rockefeller saw them and how incredibly communistic they were, he was like, paint over these things fast. And so the capitalist Sert was the guy for the job. David Mdivani, who married actress Mae Murray, divorced, then involved with the famous, wildly beautiful French actress Arletty, but married Sinclair Oil heiress Virginia Sinclair in 1944. Nina Mdivani married Dennis Conan Doyle, son of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, creator of Sherlock Holmes. We have no answers for that question for the marrying Mdivanis, the most incredible collection of marriages of any, you know, group I can think of. And so we are not going to go with any question this week.
Out of disappointment.
Out of disappointment, annoyance, and, you know,
upset.
Punishment.
And rancor. you know, sorry, no question. All right, that's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango X-Ray, Tango Bravo Uniform Kilo. Email is tblpod, tblpod, at gmail.com. We've also got a thriving forum up. We're still working on our iTunes. We're really sorry about that, but we're hoping to get it done by this coming week. Send us whatever you want. We're loving all the stories that you're sending us and appreciate it. That's it for this week. We will finish with some James Brown.
Yeah.